Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heaven or hell.
Lemon face. Lemon face.
All
right. Urgh.
All that pent-up aggression.
Why are they Christian?
Sounds like MXPX is Christian.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
You just made it so much worse.
Dude, MXPX has always been a Christian band.
Sheesh. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the episode 373. This is Jorge.
I do what I must because I can. I'm Maddie Ding Dong.
What the hell?
He could, this is Rhett.
He couldn't even like do that.
He couldn't commit to the bit because he gassed out halfway through.
He got himself.
Can you turn it off and let me hear how that sounded?
No.
Okay.
You have to just assume that
just
it was
live
good.
With it.
You can't go back to how it was before you did the thing. You have to keep moving with what you have.
Exactly. Left. Exactly. Okay. Now you're getting it.
Shit.
Now yep. You're fucking getting
the
it.
The re's already been let out of the bag.
So how's it going, fellers?
Aside from being gouty, I'm doing great.
You've got the gout again for
you got the gout again.
You got the gout again.
The gout again.
You got the gout again.
And that's a multiple time
you got the gout again.
Recently.
Yeah, so I don't think it ever went away. I think I just stopped taking the meds like when it felt better, and then it just came back, and it sucked.
So,
my goodness, excuse me.
So, because your gout, it ends up always coming in one of your toes, right? Like coming
no,
on
so
your toes.
It's usually coming on my toes. When it's Quentin Tarantino. No, it's usually like either in my right ankle or in like my big right toe, but it's been in my little like my fucking pointer. Toe on my left foot.
That's fucked up.
And it sucks because it's like on the bottom. Like it's the bottom joint and it fucking hurts, but it's not so bad right now.
But I'm still working out, brother.
Still was upper body, brother. I took leg day off this week. Get it, skip leg day. Fuck you. Try working out with gout. It sucks. You know, but like push day, I could do seated. And then chest day, I could do like seated and laying down. Back day, seated and laying down.
Nobody cares.
You going to talk
on.
About this? For
Yeah, let's move on. Let's
I saw a video of a Red dude cares. Trying to deadlift and he was ego lifting deadlifts like you. And you should see his fucking back. Like I no joke. I wrote a paragraph of stuff
and then deleted how
that's you. And then like I got interrupted and I looked at it like, damn, I don't need to send him this right now.
I don't ego lift either. I don't ego lift.
If you had back issues and then you got injured from insisting on working out, that's ego
lifting. That's not why.
Yeah, but it's the continuation.
It's accumulation. It's a cornucopia. An amalgamation.
You don't ego lift with deadlifts? You didn't like say, I gotta fucking do 300 even though my back's fucked.
No. I never deadlifted more than I could deadlift safely.
You're so full
Same
of
with
shit.
Squats.
What Aww. If I told you can't deadlift anything safely?
Well,
because you have bird bones.
you do have bird bones.
No, we're going to be nice then.
That is true. That is true.
Matty Ding Dong?
Yeah.
Watch anything that we can talk about?
Play
anything that we can talk about?
I mean, I've been playing Modern Warfare. I've been playing Pokemon Violet. I've been playing Binding of Isaac. So those are the things that I've been playing.
Neat.
As for watching, I've been watching more Great British Bake Off because I love that. I'm watching, I haven't even really been watching wrestling. It's just like YouTube videos and like a lot of analysis of things, but it's like all stupid, trashy things like 90 Day Fiance and like things of that nature.
Is that a horror show or?
Yeah, I mean, kind of.
Relevant to the topic?
You know, and then doing a little bit of dating. It's always really fun with somebody that you meet on...
Horror dating?
A dating app finds the podcast and decides to start listening and
oh,
becomes
no.
a big fan. Hi, oh, no. Rachel.
Oh, no.
Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Rachel.
Hey, what's up with Rachel?
She's cool. Rachel's cool. She listens to the show.
That's dope.
Yeah. Anywho.
Is she watching Great British Bake Off with you?
No.
Okay.
They're not there yet.
Okay.
No. We did try to watch Dark and the Wicked.
Oh!
So.
You got sidetracked.
But yeah.
At least they tried.
Yeah, we tried. Yeah, she did watch it on her own, though. She said it was fucking crazy. So, but yeah.
That's good. She liked it?
She liked it.
This is good. This is a good sign.
Good. Yeah, I've kind of just been nesting over the last couple weeks. I know that sounds weird, but I've been kind of fixated on making my house feel more like a home, you know?
Like a bird's nest?
Yeah, a little bit, to go with my bird bones. I just, you know, I've kind of looked at the place like, oh, I'm probably going to wind up moving once my lease is up, and now I don't feel like I'm going to move anytime soon, so I'm just getting settled in, I guess, after a year and 2 months.
It's probably a really satisfying feeling then.
It's pretty nice. I mean, I'm getting to like buy stuff for the house. Like I just bought like this fucking fascinating horror podcast content. No, I mean like I bought some stuff to like organize my gungeon a little bit better and move some of the Who Goes Their stuff to my garage instead of my closet, and building a little vocal booth in my closet so I can do more voiceover stuff, and just getting, you know, shelves and various things, making more plants in my house, just looking like it's not a, you know, a 19-year-old serial killer that lives there.
Like a 19-year-old's jack-off dungeon.
Yeah, that's the bathroom.
That's the vibe he's going with.
Yeah, that's cool. The bathroom.
Cool.
Nothing on the walls.
All right, so he ain't seen shit.
I ain't seen shit.
He ain't played shit.
I ain't played shit. Well, I keep trying to play Modern Warfare, but, you know, my friends,
you can play,
they just ignore my texts.
You know you can play without anybody being online, right?
I don't want to. I want to play with my friends and be stabby boy. I literally said that's why I bought this game, is to relive the glory days of playing this game with my friends.
You are more than welcome to do that. Nobody's stopping you.
My friends are never online. All my friends are dead.
Every time I'm on there, there's people playing, and I hop in for 2-3 matches.
Nobody ever tells me.
Every time I'm on there,
yeah.
Every time.
Nobody ever tells me. Hey,
you don't have to get told. Just fucking play the game.
I try.
Anywho, I've been playing a little game called Age of Darkness recently. It is a horror-themed RTS. It is very much in the vein of StarCraft, Warcraft, that sort of deal. It is... At the difficulty I'm playing, it is a little bit too hard.
What difficulty are you playing on?
One down of the hardest.
Okay.
And there's like 6 levels. It's really, really fun. It's in early access, so there's not a whole bunch of content. There's just a survival mode right now, but they're planning on doing multiplayer and story mode. It's essentially like it's base building with every 3 or 4 nights you have like a nightmare event and you have to survive it. It's really, really cool.
So like life then?
It's like life, except for like every night is a nightmare for me.
Oh, so it's actually kind of less stressful.
Yeah.
I got it's you.
Less stressful than real life.
Yeah.
I was playing a lot of Mario Kart and Mario Party as well.
Cool.
I know you watched movies, but while we're talking about video games, there's 2 that look really fucking cool that are coming out that they're talking about in the Discord. Well, I was talking about Dead in the Water in the Discord. It's like a horror game where you're a scuba diver and you're supposed to be like, I think, exploring abandoned wrecks and stuff, but you're having to fight sharks and there's weird like creatures and stuff.
It's like Subnautica kind of?
Maybe,
okay.
But it's like, it looks really spooky. And then like the whole being underwater thing, and there's like parts where you get in like really dark water, so it's hard to see in front of you. And then just creatures, you fight like a fucking kraken at one point. It looks really cool. It's called Dead in the Water 2. And then there's another movie or another game called The Callisto Protocol.
I've been seeing a lot about this.
It's like Dead Space. Yeah, it does look like Dead Space. Like, I hadn't heard anything about it, and then somebody posted and I was like, ooh, okay, that looks right up my alley. So.
That's a PS exclusive, isn't it?
Oh, damn, is it? I don't know.
I think it is.
I hope not, because that would be a real bummer.
Or it just gives you a reason to buy a PlayStation.
But I keep thinking about... I was literally talking about that the other day. Like, I don't think I would play it. Like, I'm trying. Like, I'm actively trying to play my Switch, and it's just, like, hard to even find the time. And then I'm trying to play my PC, and Same shit.
There's a good crossover type thing coming up, dude.
Yeah?
The Midnight Suns, bro.
What's that? No.
It's a Marvel tactical RPG, but the Midnight Suns is like Ghost Rider and fucking dope. All the fucks from the Infernal Realms. Dope. And so it's dope. And it's getting great reviews. It's got an 8 out of 10 on IGN.
That's pretty good.
So man. I'm looking forward to actually. That's on Switch? I'll probably get the. They have it on every platform.
Man, I'd love to play with you if you ever sent me a friend request.
Dude, you know what I've been busy doing?
Dead Cells.
Hades.
I still haven't played that one.
I have not picked up Metroid once since I started Hades about a month ago. I go charge my car with the thing, and I take the little chihuahua with me to charge the car.
And you're getting a run in?
And I'm just like, ah! And it's really good.
Have you done the loop yet all the way? Have you beat Hades?
I beat Hades twice.
Fuck yeah. Isn't that a good feeling?
You told me, I really wanted to tell you I appreciate it. You're like, you get to the surface and then it's fucked. And I'm like, this guy went out of his way to not tell me Hades was up there. That's really nice of you.
Well, you know.
And it's really cool. And then there's like Demeter and the other
guys. I love all the, you meet Persephone and all that stuff. It's like, it's so good.
And then what's the other one? Oh, and Hollow Knight. You know, just on those two. There's a bunch of other stuff I want to play and get to, but I didn't even know that was a thing. Like, what a good platform that was for the indie games.
Yep.
But I think I'm going to be much more interested in those than any.
You're going to finish Hollow Knight just in time for Silksong.
Is that a new one, dude?
The sequel, dude. You play as the fucking the Needle Girl.
I love, dude. And Hollow Knight is so cute too.
Yeah.
Like it makes bugs fucking cute. Like, you got little larvae that are, like, crying because they can't find their worm father and shit.
Aww.
And it's like, you've never played it?
No.
It's a great game.
It's a great game.
It really
great
is.
Great game.
Great ass! But what's this one? The Midnight Suns game looks pretty good. They were talking about that on Discord, too.
I could get into that. I'm always looking for new games to play.
Have time.
Well, I've been looking for a new Switch game so I can play games like on the road. And the Pokemon one has been kind of fun because at least I can kind of just explore and do whatever. But it's more just fucking grinding. And I kind of hate grinding, which reminds me of why I never played Pokemon in the first place.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You got to be a little obsessive to fucking be into the Pokemon game.
I just want to casually stroll around. I actively avoid so many Pokemon just so I can get to where I'm going. And then it's like, oh, now that I'm here, I'm not strong enough to fight anything here because I avoided all the fucking Pokemon on the way.
That's a problem.
See, check this out. Dr. Faustus of Hydra uses a twist of dark magic and science to raise Lilith, mother of demons, from her eternal slumber, resulting in an alliance between her and Hydra. Within the following 6 months, Lilith's presence destabilizes the fabric of reality. Oh! Dude. That's some dork shit right there.
I'm down. Especially if it's like the old like Marvel game with like Hawkeye, the little side-scroller one.
Are you talking about fucking Avengers West Coast, arcade game?
Yes, that's the one.
That was a dope game.
I always liked the X-Men game with Nightcrawler, too.
That was a good game.
That was a great game.
Nightcrawler, Cyclops,
Hell
Dazzler.
Did
you win your Dazzler?
It had Jubilee, Dazzler, didn't it? No.
It had Dazzler. She made a little fucking... She came out with her little flash dance outfit and fucking made a little dome of light.
Hell yeah. She gave everybody dome?
She gave everyone. Yeah. But Colossus was the one.
Hell yeah. Because
he'd be like...
Dude, Marvel vs. Capcom, I would always do that little like three-button thing to get Colossus as my little like side homie.
That guy, that fucking sucked. He'd come angle. Such bullshit, dude.
It's good shit.
And then, who was the other guy? Oh, you know who sucked on the X-Men arcade game, though?
Who?
Cyclops.
Oh, yeah.
He had just the single beam from his helmet, and it was just trash. And then, meanwhile, Colossus, his special, takes up like half the fucking screen.
Yep. I was like Akuma and Wolverine, or like
Ryan. On Marvel Capcom?
Yeah.
I was a Wolverine and Spider-Man feller.
I was who the fuck was I?
You were Spider-Man.
Captain America,
I think. That was your jam.
That and then Jin. Right.
Jin was difficult to fight against.
Yeah.
Jin and Strider.
I liked people with reach. Like you know, I remember reach. I liked tripping people like four times in a row. You remember that?
Yes.
Let me out of the corner.
Well, because they wouldn't. Dude, it's like block. You're not going to block
the fucking. Yeah. Block the fucking.
Yep. That M. Bison fucking slide kick.
That guy's dope, too.
All right, what'd you watch?
Oh, I watched a movie called Bones and All, which is the next episode.
Okay.
And I want to tell you all about it right now, though. You know what I mean? I know that's not usual. Just kidding.
I know what you say about the youth.
And I haven't watched much other stuff on brand except two trash-ass movies that are both delightful. One of which is Silent Night, Deadly Night 2. I'm getting festive.
You already pre-watched it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm going to watch it again. Because last night I watched it with Hades. I think I've watched it twice in the last 2 weeks. It's a fucking great movie.
This is a psychopath behavior.
Well, you're big on... The psychopath thing is your thing today. And then... Oh, 1996 is The Island of Dr. Moreau.
So good.
What, this movie is famously so bad and famously fucking bonkers. And I really don't think I had seen it since the Vogue here in Chula Vista.
It's so good.
Since it came out. I remember my mom and I sat down and, you know, she raised me on... Letting me know Marlon Brando was an eccentric and he used to be... She showed me the old movies because I'm a fucking dork and all that. But we sat down and she's like, oh, no. But this movie's fuck. Have you ever seen that movie, Matt? No. Okay, so it's Richard.
I've heard about it.
It's fucking terrible, dude. And it's not just bad. It's interestingly bad and it's bonkers. It's just wild. Like, what the
fuck? It's like aggressive. It's like aggressively bad.
It is. It's aggressively and weirdly bad. And then, like, Richard Stanley was the first director on it, which he did Hardware. And then he did this. And then he didn't, like, work for over 20 years again until Color Out of Space. Because this basically fucked his career for 20 years. But they kicked him off the fucking set. There's a whole fucking documentary about it called Lost Soul, which I started watching last night, which I'm, like, I'm all into. So right now I'm, like, I'm getting back into this, like, watching terrible movies thing. Oh, and the other thing I watched was best worst movie. Ever heard of this?
About Troll 2.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then, like, I was convincing Sophia. Hi, Sophia.
Hi, Sophia.
I said, let's watch this real quick. I haven't seen this since it came out. Real quick. Well, because I did. And then she's all, what is this? And it's about this dentist, and he's a fucking super nice guy, and he's super dope. And she's all, what is this? And then he mentions Troll 2, and she's like, oh, and then, like, it gets into that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and then when it gets to, like, you know, I say, like, we'll give it the 10-minute rule. And then I'm like, okay, we'll watch something else. She's all, no. So we watch that. If you've never seen it, it's a fucking great documentary about the fandom that sprouted around Troll 2. And then, so Island of Dr. Moreau. Oof. That documentary about Troll 2, watching the documentary about Island of Dr. Moreau. And Bones and All.
So I remembered some stuff I did watch. Watch Grandma's Boy. Don't need to talk about that.
Yeah.
I watched that Killer Sally.
Oh, what'd you
watched
think?
All it, dude. My fucking gym owner.
I think you mentioned this last time.
Is interviewed.
No, he sent me a text about it. I don't know if you mentioned it.
Yeah, he mentioned it.
Did I?
Yeah.
Dude, my gym owner is like interviewed in the whole thing. Like he's the dude that sold steroids.
His best friend, right?
Yeah. It's wild. So crazy seeing that. But I watched Bad Santa today. Like, you know, the Billy Bob Thornton one.
I
love that movie. Yeah. And I always watch Batter Santa, like the unrated one. And I was too lazy to get my DVD out. So I rented the director's cut. There is some weird shit in there. Like, they take out a lot of the best bits. But, like, you know, the part where he punches the donkey, mm-hmm. calls him a racist name, which he doesn't do, like in the original, where they kill Bernie Mac with the clip, the battery cables on his ear. They drag his fucking body behind the van and run over his head. Like, there's so much weird shit in this director's cut that I've never even seen because I'm always watching the unrated one.
Huh.
It's the weirdest shit. Like, I'm showing it to Andrea and I'm like, dude, like, a lot of this stuff's not in the version I'm used to. And like, oh, they definitely did not run over his fucking head. It's wild. It's okay. Good stuff, though.
Batter Santa unrated.
Batter Santa's fucking hilarious. You get to see a little person get punched in the dick, and then see a child get punched in the dick, and then Billy Bob Thornton get punched in the
dick. You want to explain why it's hilarious to see a little person get punched in the dick?
Because it's funny to see anybody get punched in the dick.
Okay. It just so happens to be an LP.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair.
That's why I said little person, and then child, and then Billy Bob Thornton. They're all three funny.
Okay. So he's an equal opportunity dick puncher.
Yep.
As long as it's equal opportunity.
Yeah. I'll punch a lady in her dick. I don't care.
What'd you watch?
Let's see. We Ronnie and I rewatched Kill Bill, which was fantastic. Love those films. We started 1899, which
Netflix show
is fucking like it's about the fucking Bermuda Triangle, and it's like this fucking director and this art director are like, dude, fuck, you know what we're gonna do? Fuck, you know what we're gonna do? You know what we're gonna do? Fucking triangles. Everywhere, dude. Oh, yeah.
Well, wait a minute, though. You know that that's like the symbol of land, sea, earth, air, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know. But it's...
I do now.
But it's like, hey, you know the key? Triangle. The door? Fucking triangle.
Oh, wow.
Her earrings? Fucking triangles, dude.
That's your favorite nipples, shit when they do that.
The fucking... Oh, shit. Look, the floor? Triangle tiles. Fuck, bro. Everything's in threes. Oh shit, there's triplets. Fuck.
You know what else is a triangle? The faces of everyone at patreon.com/ who goes their podcast. Triangle face scares us. You
never
know what
do
doesn't scare
face.
Us? When you open up your wallets and go to patreon.com/ who goes their podcast to help us support this show. Keep it running. You'll get free stuff. Not free stuff because you're paying for it, but yeah.
You'll
get stuff. And we have a new homie. His name is Tommy. Thomas. Tom. Tom. I know Tom.
Let's call him Tom.
It's a different Tom. If we call him Tom, we got to
fight him.
You got to fight him.
You're never going to fight that motherfucker.
WrestleMania 40. I'm going to fight his ass.
Okay.
Fight him for his views.
I will.
Yeah.
You know what else is a triangle?
This show.
That's fucking true. That's really true. 1899, dude. Because it's 9-9. And the one
there's another 9.
And the 1 plus the 8 is a 9.
Oh, you're right.
They did that on purpose, bro.
They did it on purpose, dude.
These are the guys who did Dark, right?
Yeah.
I never watched Dark, and I heard great shit about
Dark. Oh, Dark is good.
Dark is like timey-wimey fucking craziness. But this is okay, so I'm 3 episodes in.
Yeah.
It's good. I'm just like, fucking stop it with the triangle shit, motherfucker. Like,
let me tell you something else, too. When you add 9, 9, and 9, you get 27, right? You add 2 and 7, what do you get?
Fuck.
Oh! Dude, it's too many coincidences. Some of it has to be true, dude.
Too much. And then a 9 is like, what, 3 threes? Oh my gosh.
And then an upside down fucking 9 is a 6, which is 2 threes.
3 of them.
Oh!
And then it's 69, dude.
And then it's 666, dude. It's all the beast. It's all a giant triangle. Everything comes full triangle.
It's all the beast.
You know it's the strongest shape in nature, dude?
It's a triangle.
Fucking triangle, dude.
Damn, Daniel with the white triangles.
Oh, God, man. Well... The Who Goes Your Podcast, speaking of triangles, watched, I don't know why I said that, 2022's...
Like, I don't know what we watched.
Oh, dude, I gotta tell you.
We should watch Triangle.
Today, I was going through my day, finishing up work, no big deal. Motherfucker, Rhett texts, he's like, I'll be there at 8. And I was like, what? I had completely forgotten that I had watched the movie. I had completely forgotten that we were recording tonight. And I go, oh, yeah.
Yep.
There's a thing we got to do tonight. For real? Completely forgot. Like, wow. Utterly.
That must have sucked. You're like, fuck. Like, God damn it, dude.
I was kind of the same. I was like, damn, do I have work today? Oh, no, I'm off. Cool, I got nothing to do tonight. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Oh,
Jesus.
And it's weird because it doesn't even feel like we skipped a week in recording. It feels like we were just here last week.
Because fucking Thanksgiving's always, it is what it is. Directed by Mike Mylod? Written by Seth Rice and Will Tracy, starring Ralph Fiennes, Anya Taylor-Joy, Nicholas Hoult, Hong Chow, Janet McTeer, Paul Addleston, John Leguizamo, Amy Carrero, Reed Bierney, and a bunch of other... Oh, and Judith Light.
It's funny, my reaction to John Leguizamo was largely the same.
Yeah. Because
that's you, dude.
He is
who?
In the movie, dude. That's you.
Hey, Rhett.
No.
What'd you think of the menu, dude?
No.
No.
What? This is like, you know. What? Why'd you do that? Why do you want to start off with me?
It's random, dude.
Okay. The menu is...
Yeah, tell me all the things, right?
You want me to tell you all the things? Dude, Ralph Fiennes. Thank you. Is putting on a fucking clinic in this movie.
It's Ralph
you could almost call him a... never mind.
Dude, the way he digs into this dialogue, which is extremely... If you disagree, whatever, later, fuck off, whatever... Extremely well-written dialogue. It's a dialogue movie, right? It's like a writing movie, and by that I don't mean like plot points so much as what they're saying. He digs into every line of this fucking thing like it's Shakespeare. And then like he has talks with people in this movie where he exudes shit behind his eyes where it like reminds me... Because sometimes, dude, you know, you watch a lot of bullshit... And you get older, and then you're like, you know what? Movies are fucking dumb. And then I watch something like this, and I'm like, no, they're not. Because look at this motherfucker transcending the form right here. And I thought the writing was really good. I liked the points it made. And I, you know, this is one where you see the trailer and it's like, is it cannibalism? Do they eat people? How fucked up is this going to get? And I am actually glad where it went, that it didn't go there. And that I thought it made a lot more specific points than I actually was anticipating. I like the rest of the cast. I like the pacing of it. I mean, I could feel the theater like moving around in their engagement level, but I was just like, you know, I thought a lot of it was fucking extremely funny, very dark sense of humor. I liked fucking where it ended up. And yeah, I think you need a cast that can deliver this stuff. And I think they selected a pretty good cast for there. But again, Ralph Fiennes, like if you didn't have him in this role, I mean, I really think this is one of the best roles of his career personally for him. I enjoyed hearing him talk and make him facial expressions. And it's not like they don't have enough of him in it either. He's in most of it. And
which guy is he? The one with the critic?
He's the chef.
That's fucking terrible. You're the elderly couple that doesn't know fucking anything they've eaten there, even though they go there all the time. That's you, dude. And you're going to tell me I'm the guy who wants to fucking die just to have the meal and suck up to the guy's anus, but...
No, you're the boyfriend.
That's who he's talking about.
Yeah.
So you didn't watch the movie then.
I'm not that guy.
So I'm mostly agreeing with you. I think I really enjoyed the film. It's incredibly acted. I think everybody's doing a pretty fantastic job. There are some things where like it's that trio of the fucking crypto bros that I
fucking hated them.
I really, really good. If that's the point, then well done. But I just didn't like, I guess I didn't like the actors all that much. I thought they were a little bit too like on the nose for crypto bros. And I'm like, it's like you're pushing the stereotype too hard.
Well, I watched that fucking thing, The Americans, that documentary about the crypto bros and stuff down in South America. And it's like, they do push.
Yeah. No. And maybe it's just that the crypto bros in general are unlikable idiots.
Yes. Kill them.
Yeah. So they can die. And I just I enjoyed how like otherworldly and absurd the movie was, because you could be like, well, why are they still there? Like, couldn't they overpower like these 10 people in this fucking, like,
and they say that
you could do that thing where you're like, where you're like, whoa, why don't you stop eating, or why don't you fucking just like, you know, that sort of,
there's that social niceties thing in play again too. You know?
And again, I understand that if these people weren't in this restaurant, we wouldn't have a fucking movie. So at some point, I have to be like, okay, cool, I'm in.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Well, because at a certain point, though, there are bizarre things every fucking day that happen because people go along with the group. That's every day.
What I mean is like something like this.
The worst, stupidest shit that's ever happened has been because, not because people were monsters, but because they went with the group.
But anywho, I think the otherworldly nature of it is it helps the film in most regards. I think Anya Taylor-Joy has about outstayed her welcome with me a little bit.
I love her.
I can't argue with you on that, but I think...
She's in enough shit.
I think I'm about done with her. I'm cool with it if this is her last one.
Ever?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. She can go. It's fine. She did a good job, but I'm done with the bit.
Matthew? It is weird to keep seeing her in horror. I'll try not to choke on the irony of this whole
thing.
Because this movie is about us, ultimately. About how...
That's you, like, dude.
Well, no, I mean, think about it. All the characters in the movie are turned up to the point of almost stereotypes, almost caricatures.
Sure.
Like, without breaking the reality wall of the movie. There's like the critic is just trying to find something to pick apart versus just enjoying the experience. There's the washed up celebrity trying to fucking like hold on to any kind of notoriety by claiming to be friends with this artist. There's the people who just want to spend their money but don't actually care about the art itself. There's the guy who like pretends to know everything, the charlatan pretending to know everything, just spewing their like knowledge and rhetoric, but not actually knowing anything, just being fucking fake about the whole goddamn thing. And all of us just wanting to die, ultimately. I didn't get it until I really sat down. I mean, like, I get it about like creation versus consumption. I got that whole thing. But it wasn't until I sat down and I started talking to somebody about it and kind of like...
Who did you text and what article did you read?
No, I didn't read an article, but I just started talking to people that had seen the movie, and the more like I started verbalizing my thoughts on it, I'm like, well, no, that actually makes sense and I get it.
It checks out, right?
And it like, especially because like, I didn't get the whole point of the boyfriend, and I thought the ending was kind of silly. And then like, when you realize that the whole thing is really just about like losing the love for
whatever you're doing.
Yeah. For life, for your art, yeah. Like losing your passion for your passion,
yeah.
And having like, there's a point where, you know, the chef at one point says something about like his art being transformed into shit.
It's in your like, gut, yeah. When yeah. it's transformed into shit in your gut, and well, it's like, that's it.
And it's like, you can see that with music, you can see that with movies. Like, the stuff that you create becomes something entirely different once it's released, you know, to the general consumer.
And so does your life.
And it gets changed. Like, this yeah. podcast has changed. When we started it, it was very much like, we're just going to fucking be wild and do whatever we want and just get drunk. And then it became more of a structured type show. And then it's like, okay, well, are we doing this for the creation or for the consumption? Like, so also I really loved all of the cooking stuff before I was on board with the movie. I'm like, I really love just the creativity and the food. And I'm really into that kind of like, when the guy mentioned Chef's Table, I'm like, yeah, no, this feels a lot like Chef's Table. And that's, the point is they're kind of poking fun at this whole thing.
That's the best part, is that like the food is so absurd that you're like, well, if you don't like good food, you don't like this.
Well, yeah.
That's the best part to me, because like there are some parts of that food that is actually ridiculous.
Oh yeah.
Even as like a purported foodie, I think you'd be like, what the fuck? Like,
but that's the whole point. He's yeah. showing them.
I love that.
How they're like the fucking joke, and
he's obliterating the line. You know yeah. what I mean? Like, you know, it's pure concept now. Like yeah. it's total, like not pretension, because it's not pretending. It's just completely. It has nothing to do with making a meal people enjoy. It has to do with how fucking clever your concept
is. How far he can push the concept. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And then, well, when Nicholas Hoult's character, which is
The boyfriend,
we'll call him. When he gives the first spiel to her about why this means so much to him. For one, it made me like understand the whole food thing more, because I, you know, I'm not like some food connoisseur guy at all. It's not like I don't yeah. like good food, but I like nachos from the gas station.
You're not a gastrique.
No, I don't have that. I don't have that thought process about food, but I could see how anyone could have the thought process about any field, especially when he said that this guy deals with the building blocks of life itself. He's not dealing with fucking a guitar. Or this, and that air of condescension and like an actual kind of like spite that he has for other forms. I did relate to that, because that's when you're really passionate about something, that's how you feel about the thing you're passionate about, regardless of what it is. And it's also, though, like this guy who can't create, he can just admire.
Yeah. Well, but he also ultimately serves as an example of how Uber fans can ruin the art by, like, cheapening sure. it. So the whole...
And
the
he whole, didn't even being, care about and, killing
and,
someone.
And, being, and, the whole, and being far too myopic about the things that you love. Like, you can love things without being dogmatic about
well,
them.
Well, and right. they keep
it says
talking
a lot of
about,
philosophical shit.
Like, throughout the movie, they keep telling him, like, no photos, you know, don't take a picture of the art like it's an experience, like... Yeah. You know, it's like when Rhett takes videos of the bands he's watching, I'm like, just be in the moment,
it's
dude.
Like
just,
the dude behind me at Kendrick Lamar, just saying, just be in the moment, dude. Just be in the moment.
So, you know, and
it's
like
I want to take a picture of the meal, asshole.
So, and the guy can't do it. So, like, he keeps taking these photos. So what he's doing is he's basically reducing the art to, like, just a status grab where it's like, I'm eating the best. Look at this. He's taking this experience and it's supposed to move you and motivate you. Like, that's what art is supposed to do ultimately. Like, whether it be movies or music or a painting, you're supposed to look at it and it's supposed to evoke some kind of emotion.
Well,
so
when
this
you say,
guy.
You say a lot of supposed to's. I don't like, I don't know what art's supposed to do.
Well, no, but I mean, like, that's ultimately the, it's supposed
and
to make.
I don't know what's art and what isn't.
I mean, but exactly. But, like, maybe not by definition, but by definition, art is made to make you think. It's made to make you feel emotions. It's made to bring these things out within you. And so he's taking this experience and he's just, like, reducing it to just a photo. You're not getting the smell. You're not getting the taste. You're not getting all of these other sensory experiences that come with this food. And he's just reducing it to a photo.
Well, the thing was, too, ultimately, to me, he didn't have any actual reverence, right? And by that, I mean, like, the word is reverence, because when I used to go, when we used to go to a Tool show 20 years ago, and they said, please don't photograph, I didn't photograph because they asked me not to, right?
And also, we didn't have...
Also, we didn't have cell, but still, still.
Yeah.
I was like, nah, assholes, I'm not doing it. They said no.
I almost got kicked out of Willie Nelson.
This guy, though, it's like, dude, if you really revered this guy's process, if it wasn't just, like, if you really revered it, I'm not talking about any show, but I'm saying, like, this guy explicitly told you, do not take fucking photos. Yeah.
I also take a little bit of, I'm not going to say offense, but the idea that...
I think we're supposed to.
Well, no. I just mean, I think the flip side of that is... You know, the chef being so single-minded about how his food should be enjoyed,
of course.
I think is also, like, kind of absurd and ridiculous. Because however you enjoy art or food or whatever
it's
you
perspective.
Do, it's okay. Like, I don't give a shit if you're taking pictures at a show or right. if you're taking pictures of your food or if you're taking fucking selfies at the gym. Like, all this stuff... is how you enjoy the thing.
Well, but that's the thing is he's serving the food to people that don't ultimately enjoy it. Nobody,
but
think about it. Cause nobody in this place actually ever enjoys the food. The boyfriend pretends like he does, but like when he's served those things without bread, he's literally eating olive oil. It's like, oh, it's so good. Well, even though he's the butt of the joke, the fucking critic is looking to just create hype and drive herself to be able to do more reviews and drive her notoriety. The crypto bros are making money off of him. They don't care about the
food.
Let's
talk about Ray Fiennes, like he's saying, right? The guy, he's been in that situation so long where he's a victim of his own
crapulence.
Yes. his own vitriol, his own magnanimous vitriol.
There we go. Now you're doing it.
Right. No, so like it's really egregious what he does because he's so stuck in that conceptual world in the whole edifice he's created, right? Where I don't know that it's, yeah, he doesn't make food for people that enjoy it, but he hasn't for years. He hasn't made food like that for, and so he's more about now this process and the control. That's what comes up a lot. Control. Like he needs control of everything.
Well, that's a kitchen. That's a chef.
That's a chef, right. But it's gone way too fucking far. It's gone to the point where there's no joy in what you're doing. There's no love. You don't do it. And it comes up later when the one quote unquote normal person is there that shouldn't be there. Because she wasn't supposed to be there. She points out to him, you don't create with love. You create with obsession. And that's fucking different when he makes something.
He makes the comment, though, that like later that of course they cook with love, but he says it like he doesn't believe it. He says it like he's repeating, like the customer is always right.
He says he couldn't remember the last time he wanted to make a meal for someone. And then when he makes her that fucking burger.
Which, by the way.
Which looks fucking delicious.
Instantly, I was like, when we left the theater, I was like, we're getting burgers.
Well, and that's the thing, too. When I heard Matt told me someone here in San Diego thought the movie was disappointing. That's because it didn't give them the burger they came for. They wanted the burger. They wanted, like, everyone to get their comeuppance and some revenge thing and a lot more blood and a blah, blah, blah. And it didn't. It gave you, she has the burger, she gets away, and then there's the s'more. And they're all transformed through fire. Like, and I'm like...
Do you think there was a way, obviously, like as the quote unquote final girl in this film, do you think there was a way out for anybody else, or were they all just fucking doomed?
I think they're fucking doomed.
No, I think there was a way out for all of them, but I think they all ultimately
failed.
I think like Willy Wonka. Then
I think ultimately in the end, they all realized that they wanted to die, that they were ultimately unhappy, and that the things that he's been talking about how his art and his vision and his passion and his life's purpose has been drained and just ruined.
That's all of them.
They're hollow. Like, they're all, exactly, they're all hollow, shitty people. And he makes the comment later, he's like, you all probably could have escaped if you would have just tried, like... Ask yourselves why you didn't. And it's like, oh, that's a good fucking point.
The other thing I
think it's really evident in that old couple too, where he's like, tell me one thing that you had here last time.
Yeah, she goes, bass.
And that's the thing, is he wants people to like really savor it, and nobody is there to savor anything. Everybody is there for their own selfish reasons. And they can't
inflate their own sense of importance by being in general proximity to this event.
Well, that old couple, they just want a reason to spend their money. They're just killing time with each other because they have nothing better to do. Their marriage is a fucking sham. They're miserable, and they're just aren't going they through all, the motions. Dude. For them to have been to that restaurant 11 times...
And not you remember would, one fucking meal.
You would assume they loved it, you know, to even be like, oh, the
no, they love telling people they went.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what a lot of them are. They're all using his art to gain something for themselves.
Well, he's the one who likes to sing along, and he likes all the pretty songs, but you don't know what it means.
Nope.
You know? And that's it. That's the menu. I'm just kidding.
Pretty much. In a nutshell.
But who does know what it means?
Who did you identify the most with? Were you on board with the shitty boyfriend?
I thought it moved around pretty well. In what respect?
Like, because I could see, like, this is going to be me being, I'm the fucking goofy ass waitress. That I'm like hyper neurotic about weird shit, and ultimately, like, none of it amounts to anything.
When you ask that, Jorge, like, I think the movie's actually, this may sound weird, it has a really dark, cynical sense of humor, but it's actually very humane. And I say that because in order for a writer to write this, he has to be able to put himself
in all those
characters and see those parts of him, of themselves, ultimately, right? And also have some kind of sense of empathy for them, meaning, like, the crypto guys fucking bugged the fuck out of me. They seemed irredeemable to me, right? But ultimately, they're not serial killer. We like serial killers, right? But they're not. We don't see enough to think they're just terrible people, but we see enough to think. Well, yeah, I see enough to kind of be like, that's how you respond to this situation. Then you're just trash, and you're completely out of touch, and you have no fucking redeemable qualities about you. But that says actually more about me, honestly, as a viewer. Like, why am I so eager to fucking justify them getting fucking killed?
Right.
Or be happy about it.
Right. You didn't enjoy your meal. Death.
Exactly. Right. And so this is playing on all of our darker instincts, I think, man. And so, I you know, like I said, when I hear the boyfriend selling his passion about this, I did relate to that on some level. When I see the girl, they'll tell him, like, you don't make food. You don't create with love. You create with obsession. I related to what she's saying, but I also related to what she's saying as in, like, you can be obsessive about your work or the things you like, and it doesn't matter if you're a big chef or not. It could be whatever you're doing. I get obsessive about it, and I am detached from the love of it. And then you have to find it again. And you don't find it again by making something more elaborate or more conceptual. You find it again by like embracing the fucking spontaneity of the moment. Like he did with the fucking burger and serving someone, you know? But it's like, if your head's up your ass and you're like being told how important you are and how good you are about anything, it makes that harder to do at a certain point, you know? So I thought it moved around a lot. Yeah, and then like the people, oh, that they set up a dichotomy too of the servers, right? There's the people who serve and there's the people who get served. And it made me think about that too, right? And that was actually one of the higher conceptual things about it because, look, and you're
the plight of the bourgeoisie.
Well, there's exactly. They got a real Marxist thing going on. They got the bourgeois and they got the proletariat, right? But ultimately, when she's on that boat at the end and she sees the island explode, the thing is, you know, if you want to look past it, like master and servant, right? Aren't they both roles? Like when I'm at work, I'm the servant. When I'm outside of work and I go buy something, I become the master because I'm the consumer.
Well, see, but right? that's kind of the thing, though, is it's a symbiotic relationship, as is his relationship with these customers. Because, like...
Well, isn't there anything beyond that? And well, I think there is.
They're consuming, you know? But, like, in order for there to be a consumer, there has to be a creator. Like, and in this day and age, like, that's all we do is create and consume content. So,
or create content about other content.
What better medium to explore than food, where the content is literally consumed? So, if he wasn't creating,
the content was other living stuff. Yeah,
they wouldn't be consuming. So he's part of the problem too.
Well, and that's what I like. Like there, it's being like fucking straight faced about this issue because it is an issue. Like if you really want to look at it, like when he said that. This anything that occurs here is not the point and nowhere near as important than the ecosystem on this island. He's not being like when people
Being esoteric. He's being
literal as fuck. Literal. And yeah. he's not being like a tree hugger. He's being reality based. Like we don't mean shit. We're here in a microsecond and the fauna on this island outlasts you and is more important than this meal or any of your lives. And that's like...
It's to the point where you're like consuming... You don't even realize what you're consuming. You're just eating it.
Right.
To do it.
Ultimately, like you spend your entire life consuming things from the earth. But then in the end, the earth is going to consume
The only thing I had any sort of...
You're going to turn to shit in its gut, so to speak.
How is it... This again. This may be overthinking it, but how does he convince the chef staff, the cook staff, to go along with this
gradually?
So that's
like, do you think it's a brainwashing thing?
That's a thing that I really sounds stupid. That I really enjoyed exploring because like. When you work in a kitchen, there's that kind of dynamic anyway. A kitchen is run an effective kitchen is run very much like a military unit or in some cases.
Was it like French Laundry style is like, or?
It's run like a cult too. And I thought this movie did a very good job.
It's not just about kitchens. It's about all those dynamics.
Well, right? And I thought this movie did a really good job of like showing what it's like in a kitchen. But also treading the line of what it's like in a cult because they talk about him like he's a god. They only refer to him as chef. They talk about him like
they're isolated from the mainland.
Like, yeah, you can't go into his quarters. Even we're not allowed to go into his quarters. Like, it's this big thing. Right. And, like, they answer him in unity. They would kill for him. They would die for him. Like, so it appears just like, you know, you watch any, like, Anthony Bourdain show and it's like, yes, chef, no, chef. Like, very... militarized responses, but in this case it walks that line between, you know, kitchen and cult, and I think that's just how it works. Is he gets them working as a team and then he begins to like express his views about how their art has been degraded into like a commodity and there's this transactionary relationship now between creator and consumer. And he's just like, we've lost all purpose. Like, we are always going to be the type to create. Like, when he gets that guy to off himself, it's like, you want to be me. Like, I'm your role model. You want to create, but, like, you'll never be as good as me.
See, that was great because we don't hear what he tells him.
Yeah.
But we can imagine basically that it's like you're an...
Oh, I wasn't even talking about the boyfriend. I was talking about the guy that shot himself.
Oh, the other guy. Yeah, yeah. Because of the pressure of having to... Yeah, you...
Live up to the standard.
To live up to the standard, right? Which is another... It's another concept. So it's another... Like, we've sacrificed your love of the craft for the status aspect, right? Like, the competitive thing of it, right? But... The boyfriend, though, like when he tells him what he tells him, we don't hear what he tells him.
Good.
It was good because I can imagine it's basically like you're a complete fraud and you know it. Like, you know, this is completely fraudulent. Not only do you not create, you don't even understand a fucking shred of what's going on.
I think whatever he told him cut even deeper than that because, like, I could imagine, like, because when he tells him to put on the fucking, the chef's coat, and I go, oh, fuck.
Oh, he got such a hard on?
I go, here we go. It's going to be a great scene. And it fucking was, man. That scene was incredible.
Well, and all he wanted was the chef's approval the whole movie. Like, and he made it, like, clear. I mean, he's still taking the photos, but he said outright, like, you know, should I apologize? I really just want him to like me. And then so the chef is finally giving him the recognition, bringing him into the kitchen, putting a vest on him and writing his name and stuff. And then, like,
let me personalize
like,
it for
you. He's like, hey, now cook. And it's like, that's what I feel like we are. We sit here week after week and we talk about movies and themes and, like, you know, techniques and all this other shit. But if somebody, like, held our feet to the fire and was like, make a movie, we would make Mountain King.
Not necessarily.
Well, no, because I think you don't
have to do a thing to do. We're just talking.
I think also.
No, but that's the thing is we like to talk like we know what we're talking
about.
But
hold on. But I think the difference is that when you're eating a meal, there's no talent in eating. Right?
Right.
I think there, and I don't want to get up my own ass about it, but I think that having a conversation intelligently or otherwise and entertaining is in and of itself a talent.
Whether it's a talent or not, like, here, let me, for me, it goes back to this very Zen thing. The fauna on that island is more important than either this movie, than the chef, than us talking about the movie, than the food, than the shit that ends up in the toilet, than any of this. So all human endeavor, all of it, is pretty fucking equal. Whether it's a skyscraper or a piece of shit, is pretty fucking equal in the eyes of the universe. And I don't mean that to be negative. I mean it like this. If they cease to exist, the universe wouldn't miss us and it would be like we never fucking existed.
Did you ever see that show?
And I'm not trying to be negative. I'm saying, like, let's not get inflated on... This stuff's important in when we talk about it to other people, right? And that's really, like, you know, you're right. I think about that too. We do talk a lot of shit. And we talk a lot of shit for a lot of reasons, both good and bad, right? But we also obviously love fucking movies, or else we wouldn't watch them all the fucking time.
True.
Right?
Did you ever see that show? I think it was called Life After Humans, where it was it was basically like if all human life got wiped out, what would happen to the planet? And it's like within like 2 or 3 years, like just grass and trees and everything is taken over.
You see that sort of
thing
happening in Detroit a lot where they, you know, these neighborhoods have been...
We talked about that with Barbarian.
Yeah. Where it's like they get engulfed by nature and it happens so quickly. It's actually incredible.
I'm really not saying it to be negative. I'm just saying, like, I don't think it's a positive thing to get drunk on our own sense of false importance. Like, you know...
No, we're a scab on the skin knee of this planet, and it'll heal over.
Well, it will. Like, it fucking survived. The planet survived being bombarded with fucking comets for 300,000 years. The planet will be fine. We won't. Like, that's you know.
Until it dies from the heat death of the universe.
Right, and then that'll happen. And then either way, like, this is one planet among who fucking knows how many. And, you know, now we're getting into a thing.
We'll have fucked up tons of planets by then.
Well, nah, I doubt it.
Only, you know what's going to fuck up tons of planets is what we created, which I think we're a bridge to AI, because AI is going to outlast fucking organic life. Well, there you go. I think
it's going to be Boston Dynamics and those weird fucking parkour robots.
Now we're talking about some deep shit, dog. But the movie does, it goes there without staying there. It goes there, it suggests that without staying there. And that's what I mean. When I hear people say that the certain little bits of conversations I've had, and I'm not talking about critics, because unsurprisingly, the critics generally like this movie quite a bit, right? But because they kind of have to, right? I mean,
a little bit.
Yeah, right.
A little bit.
Yeah, but because, like,
if you don't like it, you're part of the problem.
Yeah.
This movie is very akin to that Ghostbusters movie with all the unfunny women in it. Well, they're funny. just not in that movie.
Yeah. I do think that last shot of her on the boat and she's eating the burger, you know, while they're burning on the island. Again, that me it kind of, it really brought to me, like, it blurred the line. Like, what is she? Is she a server or is she a receiver? Well, she's, he made her the burger, you know? So she's receiving. She's receiving the product.
Yeah.
And it's her opinion.
His seed, if you will.
What matters more, the love he put into making the burger or her reception of it? Well,
but it's
a feedback loop.
But she's also a giver. And I don't mean that because she's a sex worker. I mean that because she gave him the joy that he lost. She gave him back the passion.
That's what we do on this show.
Right before.
Exactly.
Right before he ends.
And also, think of the pretentiousness of creating this film in and of itself.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. And the writer knows that. He's like, so I'm talking, like, about myself.
A little on the nose.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so, okay, the ending. I thought the s'more smocks, or the marshmallow smocks and the chocolate hats were a little fucking cute and a little stupid.
That's the whole idea.
No, I know. But, like, the visual aspect of, like,
the overhead shot of the s'more?
Dude, them, like, creating the plate with... I was like, wow, that's really fucking gorgeous. Like, I love... And I love... I loved all that. Like, I loved, like, the I'm not a huge fan of art, but, like, the creation of that, I'm like, man, that's really gorgeous. They even did
goddamn smears on the floor.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, don't do that. You did a fucking chocolate smear.
See, and that's what I was totally digging. And, like, honestly, I loved when they did the little chef's table type things where they showed the dish and then, like, explained what it was. And, like, when they caught that guy and they do the little egg. Yep. It's like, bro, and then when they did Tyler's bullshit, it's like the lamb that's all
that,
raw.
That moment where... Oh,
they kept having the inserts showing the contents of the...
That moment when she comes back to the table after going up and he goes, I bet you didn't fucking appreciate you. And, like, he called her, like, a bunch of terrible shit.
Yeah, it's like, meat or veg.
I didn't quite understand the relationship then. So I was like, dude, he's being awful to her. But then when you find out that, you know, she's a sex worker and he's just being nasty to a prostitute, it's like, oh, you're getting off on this, dude. Like, yeah. you enjoy this part of making fun of your date because she doesn't know about
food. See, and before I knew she was a sex worker, like, I was against her because I'm like, they're standing on the dock and you can tell he's, like, super, like, excited about this. I'm like, wow, you can't even feign excitement for something that your boyfriend is super into. Like, you kind of fucking suck.
And it's saying that too, like, it's, you know, the world's oldest profession, right?
Yeah.
She created this entire, not she, but the essence of what she does as a sex worker is the first version of this dynamic.
Yeah.
And it's the first, like, kind of inversion of it. Like, is she in control or out of control? Well, as a sex worker, if you enjoy... It goes back to any other thing. If you're enjoying your work, you're enjoying your work.
Also, his choice of bringing a sex worker along to this thing kind of illustrates how much of a shit person he is.
Of course.
Because he couldn't come up with anybody else to go with him that would buy into his bullshit. Because, like, if you and I were to go to this meal, or the three of us, I'd be like, man, you know what the fuck you're talking about. Like, what do you mean you have a fucking... fucking vaporizer, bro. Shut up, idiot. But if it's somebody that doesn't know you, you could, of course, be up your own ass about how much you know food and how well you can cook and all this garbage.
You know, too, like, post-pandemic, there's been quite a few things where it has this satire thing of the super rich. Like, you know, like, we talked White Lotus, right, on HBO. It kind of sends that up. Triangle of Sadness, which you guys haven't seen, where the hyper-rich are on a boat and chaos ensues. Like, this and Triangle of Sadness is a great fucking... They complement each other perfectly. Like, there's, like, it's part of the zeitgeist.
How many triangles are in that movie, dude?
There's actually only one Triangle of Sadness, and it's referring to a guy's face, and it's hilarious.
And it's
when you find out where the title comes from in that movie, you're like, that's amazing.
It's a nice mirror, dude, because, like, he's just consuming. Because I bet you eat that show. You, like, just sit and watch, like... Three episodes, four episodes together. You don't
once a week.
You don't savor one episode and just be like, okay.
I savor one episode
on that.
a week because they're releasing one episode.
Okay, but still, binge culture, it's the same kind of thing where we're not just like savoring the thing. We're just consuming it all at one time.
I prefer and just film to those fucking shows.
Which is, I mean, which is also okay. I don't like when
we don't make rules about this.
Well, yeah, I mean, when people binge shows, I'm not like, well, dude, you would have really enjoyed it more if you had fucking waited a week between episodes. Like, I don't give a
fuck. You're like, you binge shows? Oh, you're a trash person.
Yeah, exactly. you binge shows? So what? I watch the same movie 4 times in 1 week.
Now what? I was near blackout for 3 days.
When fucking Kanye's like, I could say anti-Semitic things and they can't do anything. Now what? And I was like, oh shit, Kanye, you here fucked comes. Up.
I'm glad you guys binged those magic cookie bars.
They're kind of good.
It's dope. I didn't want to do the menu without food.
Did you put smegma in them?
Of course. It's
right there. You can see it.
Yeah.
He's got us. Sweetened
evaporated smegma.
Well, we were all pretty positive on the menu.
Let me tell you something.
Let me say about the youth.
You know what they say about the cinematography? I loved the cinematography.
Yep.
I like the color. Well, unsurprisingly, right? I was about to say the color palette. No shit, like the menu, right? But this dude, he did Evil Dead 2. And he did House Party.
Which dude is this?
This is the cinematographer. Okay. He did Drop Dead Fred.
Weird. Hell yeah.
He did Son in Law.
Weird.
Hell yeah.
Joe's Apartment.
Hell
weird.
Yeah.
Lost Highway.
Damn.
Okay, now we're getting somewhere.
It's fucking dope. Austin Powers.
Okay.
Okay, well, Austin Powers has a fucking...
That's what I'm saying. That his selections, color. Where he ended up. Scream 2.
Okay, weird.
Scream 3. Mulholland Drive.
Okay.
So he works with David Lynch and Raimi and fucking like what? From Hell.
Okay, I'm in.
Right? I Heart Huckabees, which you hate, but this is, again, this is a interesting career. Drag Me to Hell.
Which you hate.
Drag Me to Hell.
Fantastic film.
Cabin in the Woods.
Fantastic film.
Right? The New Mutants, which Matt fucking said he liked.
Yeah, whatever. New Mutants was dope.
Well, that's very, that's a mistake. That's a controversial opinion.
But oh, wait, no, I was thinking of First Class. New Mutants was all right.
But yeah, and now the menu, and he's got something unfortunately called Shotgun Wedding with Jennifer Lopez, another Ooh. Wedding movie coming out. And either way, you got to make a living, but that's a pretty fucking dope little run of films make a he living. Did there.
J-Lo movie.
You know,
starting with Evil Dead 2 and ending up with the menu.
I do want to say I felt like the ending was a little rushed. Like a
that's,
no,
that's
I
what
mean,
Sophia thought.
A too. Little, well, a little unearned because it felt like. It felt like a fast-forwarded Resident Evil.
Guess what,
fucking
dude?
Puzzle.
What are burgers, dude? What burgers no, 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 are no, no, burger, no. Burgers are fast so, food, dude. So he's giving you a fast
I don't
food
even
menu
mean, I don't
to
even
end the
mean,
movie.
What do you want
in your face?
No, I don't even mean the burger specifically.
I agree with him. What do you want?
What I mean is like, what I mean about the ending feeling unearned is it's like, okay, hey, now that you're cool with us, I have this barrel. Will you get the barrel? And then she was like, I'll get the barrel. Wanders into the house and she's like, let me look around. Oh, there's a picture with him smiling with a cheeseburger. And then she, 5 minutes later, is like, you know what? I want a cheeseburger. It just felt a little...
No, she figured him out, dude, because she knows...
I know, but it felt
she
a,
knows,
little, a little
she
rushed.
She knows how to read men.
It felt a little rushed.
Like a burger at a fast food joint in
well,
your face.
And that's the thing. Figuring him out, like he said, is it is kind of like I'm a sex worker. I
okay.
know how to figure out.
I like that.
But also, she was right.
No, I do like that. She's
it was
a sex
simple.
Worker and she knows how to read men. So ultimately, she is a provider.
Well, and also,
and she still understands how to provide. And she's like, that's what he
that's
what That's he
what
needs.
I'm saying. It's blurring the line okay. between am I a server or am I serving?
Okay, and now that makes me look at it different.
That's what I mean. Like, she fucking hustled him.
Yeah, because when you say it like that,
she saw the
like,
picture in his house of him with the burger.
She read him. It's like, okay, yeah. So she ultimately is a server.
The last
she,
time he was happy was when he was.
So she read him. She's like, I know how to give him the experience that he needs as a consumer. Okay. Okay.
That's
fair,
the thing. She
fair.
Learned. Yeah, that's,
it
that's,
was,
that's
it was,
fucking pretty good.
I still stand by. I felt like it was very quick, very convenient. There
well, here's
you go.
What it is. Here's what it
it's
is.
It's very convenient.
Here's what
She's
it
like,
is,
I'm going to get the barrel. Happened to be in his house.
Here's what I think it is. It's simple.
Also, what was in the barrel? Do they ever
Hold
say?
Hold the fuck on. It doesn't matter what's in the barrel.
No, I want to know.
It's though. Like the
like
briefcase
Pulp Fiction.
In Pulp Fiction.
Briefcase. Mm. Wow. Exactly. We
did it.
I knew it.
I knew
we inverted it, dude.
Yeah. plates. Like, you don't need it. It's the point. The point. It's what's in the barrel? What's in the box? What's
that
in
was
the, what's
that was in Wallace's soul in there, dude. That's what it was.
Oh yeah, I've heard that too. And that's why he has a Band-Aid on the back of his head. Yeah, it's dude, like it came invasion out. Of the Body Snatchers, dude.
They slurped on him. No, it's actually more like blood sucking freaks, dude.
That movie's stupid.
That movie's dope.
Ralph I think I would like it more shit. Now.
Yeah,
now that I've seen Wilder Things.
Now that you get it.
Well, so, okay.
Now that I get blood, I think the ending.
This is the thing, and his like his whole conceptual thing, and how it's complex and blah blah. It's a fucking facade. It's simple. He doesn't have love for what he does anymore.
Yeah.
So, and that's the thing. The ending is simple because the fucking the point. The it's profound, but it's simple. He just wants to enjoy making a meal for someone
who enjoys it.
That's it. And who actually genuinely enjoys it, not because they it's gonna be in their fucking New Yorker magazine or whatever and this and that. It's not for any other pretense, right?
And I just want to make a podcast.
And is for there people and that is there it. No encapsulation of a meal that is like perfect and it's one united thing other than a burger?
A fucking burrito.
Okay, burrito. Also a burrito. Anything like it could have been a burrito too.
Burrito doesn't. It's not as cinematic as a burger. Let's get serious.
No, if she's like
the burrito's contents are all covered.
If she's like, I want the fattest fucking carne asada burrito, and all you see is a tortilla, and it's like,
right? Okay, cool. No, but she takes a bite, and then you see the fucking carne asada come out.
It's just it's drooling from the bottom. It's like, oh no, that's a fucking burrito. A if burrito. Your pants aren't stained, well, that's the
thing. He worked at a taco shop. Carne asada fries, dude.
Yeah. Well, it's about like, is this in the movie itself? Is this an art house movie or is this a mass produced fucking thing made for mass consumption? Well, what's the difference? Because a burger is about presentation, right?
Yeah.
It looks like it's sizzling. It has the bread. Everything matters. Mm. All the same shit matters.
Yeah.
So at what point is the gas station nachos on the same thing as your fucking... Name some crazy-ass meal that would be hard to make.
I don't know.
Gordon Ramsay's beef Wellington.
Beef ass.
Yeah.
That's beef ass right there.
Or his fucking...
But I mean...
Gordon Ramsay's fucking grilled cheese sandwich.
See, well, I think it boils down to ultimately, like, art is in the eye of the beholder. So it's like... It doesn't matter if it's gas station nachos or if it's beef Wellington, as long as you appreciate it and you like savor the experience and it evokes some kind of feeling in you.
Here's why I Uno reverse you. Like, after all I've just said,
you eat gas station people's nachos.
People's tastes on the Discord when they say what they like and it's trash. You are bad people. You are bad people.
Okay, to end it, what is the single best meal you've ever had?
The single, dude, okay, I almost, this is not hyperbole, I almost cried when I had the vegan patty melt at Kindred.
Okay.
Like, I know that sounds unbelievable.
They made that out of jackfruit,
like,
right?
I don't even know, but it was so perfectly seasoned that, like, when I took a bite, I just, like, my eyes welled up. It was amazing. I had like a fucking fancy expensive like Kobe beef meal in Kobe, Japan, and like the experience was really amazing, but taste wise I don't think I've ever had anything as good as that patty melt.
Nice.
There's two of them.
Okay. I was gonna say I can talk about mine before if you need time to think, but go ahead.
One of them was actually really recently for Sophia's birthday. It was a place in Palm Springs, Club something, and it's like it's a super super gay area, and by that I'm not being dry. I mean it's super gay.
Yeah, and, I mean most and, of and Palm Springs
and the gays make the food really good, and it looked really good, and it tasted even better than it fucking looked.
Special sauce,
it whatever it was, and it was her birthday, and so for me it's not just the food, it's everything surrounding it. But it was one of the best fucking experiences I've ever had eating a meal. The other one though is for entirely different reasons, and it's remember when I was fucking on the East Coast for 3 years and I went to jail, and I came back and all that. The first thing I had when I came back to California, when I touched land in California, which felt like fucking for me was returning from another dimension basically, was Autobata Tacos because was tacos.
Because that shit don't happen on the East Coast.
That shit does not happen at all.
Yeah. You can't even find a good breakfast burrito, and that's the most basic of burritos.
Dude, there is nothing to compare like what fucking... I mean, I still remember my mouth's like salivating right now. And I haven't eaten meat in like 2 years now, but that doesn't matter. Like that like Autobata Tacos from just those basic... TJ Tacos, after 3 years of not having anything close to it, and everything it signified. Because, like, when I left and when I came back, I was a different person. And it's not like the problem was solved, but
right.
A lot had happened.
Yeah.
And so there was that. So those two things.
Nice. Yeah. I've got two. So I've got a restaurant one and then my own like, home one. So we went to Born and Raised for Ronnie and I's, like, 20th anniversary, whatever the fuck it was. They had a steak flight that was like basically like progressively more like exotic beef. Dude, it was so good. By the time you got to like the fucking class A, AAA Wagyu, and I was like, dude, it's too rich. It's too much, but the whole thing was incredible. It was like the best actual meal I've had. But the one that sticks out to me is, so Micah, his birth, like my son's birth was very difficult for, well, more so for Ronnie, but it was basically 5 days of hell for us. And when we finally got home.
And it shows.
we finally get home, and like the day after he was born, I made myself a burger and I had a single beer, and it was the best meal I've ever had in my entire life.
Oh, yeah. All
right. It was so good.
Like the fucking, it was over.
Yeah. I was like, it's done.
Like, it's that done. That was some real living right there.
Yeah.
That was a life well lived.
Like experience wise, that was the best meal. But like food wise, that Born and Raised steak was unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
that's the menu.
That's the menu, homies.
So the menu is the best movie ever made. Do you think this will be in your top five, Matt?
I mean, it's hard to say. Maybe.
Well, we'll revisit that in a few episodes.
Yeah, we got a month. I got a lot of watching to do.
We only have a month.
Yeah, I'm like, I've been wanting to start doing the year end binge, and it's just so hard.
I actually have to make time like during the weekend because I can't do it at work anymore. It's cucked.
I keep like seeing stuff on Shudder. I'm like, oh, I should watch that.
So next week is.
Boners and all.
Boners and all.
Cannibal Love.
All right, cool. Catch it in theaters before it's not there anymore, or else you're going to have to wait.
Yeah, I have no idea what we're talking about.
All right, idiots. Well, that's the Who Goes There podcast for episode 373. This is Jorge signing out.
This is Matt.
Bye, Sophia. This is Red.
That was really bad.
Bye, idiots.
I'm not going to worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.